WTBQ. Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 11:10 AM. And I hope you're doing well today. Guess what? It is spring. It feels like spring today. It feels so good to have a little spring in our air, a spring in our step, as they say. But certainly spring is upon us. Yes, it still gets chilly at night, but, we're on our way to spring, which is good news because we all care about spring. We care about spring. We care about summer. And, you know, at this time of year, we also care very much about how we look. We're taking the coats off. All of a sudden, things kind of matter. I mean, not that they don't in the winter, but it's very different. We hunker down. Now we're just coming out, and we want to look pretty. And you know what? One of the things that we've always been told, which is true, we are what we eat. But how much does that influence the way you look? I mean, yes, it might influence certainly what diseases you get or don't get, but does it really matter how you look? I mean, if you eat one thing over another, does it affect your skin? Well, my guest today says it definitely does, and she has proven the point and then also written about the point. She has written a new book called Eat Pretty, Nutrition for Beauty Inside and Out. And I want to welcome Jolene Hart to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me, Shannon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, you were a beauty editor, and you got all these products, all these wonderful things. And I know I was once in the beauty business, and I remember getting all those things all the time. And you know, you could try this on, you could try that on, this new skin thing. But you were saying that it wasn't affecting your skin regardless of what you put on it. But when you changed your diet, it did?
Yeah, I mean, I was in a unique situation. I had dealt with pretty serious acne and also itchy eczema on my legs for almost a decade. And this started well before I became a beauty editor. But, you know, when I took that position in beauty, I thought, this is it. I'm going to find the product, because you read these amazing claims of what products can do. And you think, I just haven't found the right one yet. I haven't found the one for me. So yes, I'm going to check everything that comes across my desk. I would see hundreds of products every week. And, for years, couldn't find anything that was going to actually cure what I was dealing with. I found a lot of products that would cover it up, but nothing to really solve the issue. And I had, grown up kind of understanding that food was medicine. But during a lot of my treatment for acne, I had always been told that it would never affect my skin.
Right.
And I always sort of thought otherwise. And it wasn't until I left my position and went on a journey to find out how to heal my skin with my diet and my lifestyle that I saw food really does matter.
Uh-huh. So, I that's a really good point, because I can remember when I was younger and went now, it was longer than you because you're younger, but I remember going to the doctor for acne, and they said it's not what you eat. People say it's French fries or whatever, and they always dispute that. No, it's not that. You need this medicine or that medicine. I have a teenage daughter, and I remember when she went through that, they said the same thing. Don't worry about what you eat. So how can we, the disconnect, I mean, thankfully we're all getting a little healthier, but the disconnect that we hear from doctors is probably because they want to sell medicine. I mean, maybe not all of them, but they're certainly pharmaceuticals. But when you found out that what you eat, it really makes a difference. First thing I have to ask is, did you have to cut out everything lousy? I mean, do we have to be such a purist that we just stand around and eat grass all day?
No, absolutely not. Because, if we did all that cutting out, it would cause us even more stress in our lives. Stress is actually a factor in the way we look too. It's really all about balance. But at the end of the day, I have a list of what I call my beauty betrayers in my book, and these are just the foods that aren't serving us well in our lives and aesthetically. I mean, they're still great to have once in a while. They taste wonderful when we're eating them, but it's just important to know what foods are the ones that are helping you along, helping you to look and feel your best every day.
What are those ones that really are not really good for us?
Well, it's a lot of the foods that people say they can't possibly live without, like caffeine and alcohol and processed foods and refined sugar, even sugar substitutes. And, a lot of the conventional dairy and meats that are loaded with hormones that can throw off our own natural hormone balance. And for some people, it's even something like gluten. If you're having an intolerance or an allergic reaction that you may not even know about day to day, that can really show up in your skin, primarily because all of these things cause inflammation in your body. Mm-hmm. And inflammation is not only a trigger for, say, redness in your skin, but also premature wrinkles and breakouts like I experienced. anything, you know, skin dryness, all of those actually stem from inflammation in your body.
So, you know, we have an herbalist at the station, Marguerite Dunn, and I remember her once saying that your body is wonderful in expelling anything that it doesn't, that it can't digest or it can't take care of. So does that come out in acne? Is that what's happening? Is there an inflammation that you're saying that comes out in acne when you eat things like fried food or, as you say, caffeine or alcohol? Is that what happens?
A little bit, but it also has to do with your body's natural detox, which is what you're, you know, the herbalist at your station is saying, when you overload your digestive system, and there is a section on digestion in my book because it really does go beyond food to how you break down and process and absorb these foods. If your digestive system isn't functioning well, there are other organs in your body that pick up the slack, and your skin is one of those first lines of defense to help you detox. And and that's when you see those reactions come out on your skin in breakouts or something like I was experiencing, like eczema or rashes or things like that.
Which is even more serious, obviously. Now, you break this down in different seasons, four seasons to eat pretty. Now, as I said, we're just coming into spring and starting to really enjoy it. What do we eat in spring that can make a difference to the way we look?
So after a long winter, what we really need is to lighten up and to introduce natural detox into our body. And it's really remarkable, the foods that are hitting the markets right now, the asparagus, artichokes, dandelion greens, arugula, those fresh greens are the foods that are naturally going to detox you after a long winter. Those deep green foods are very alkalizing for the body and very, very lightening after that long, heavy winter.
Okay, so is that probably true for every season, that if it grows during that season, that it's a good time to eat it?
It is, and it's something that you kind of know, but you don't realize how direct and amazing the connection is. Like, you can literally look at every season. In the summer, a lot of the foods that are ripe are the foods that are going to protect you from UV damage. Mm. And the summer is the time when we're spending all of those hours outdoors at the beach, you know. In the autumn, there are foods that are particularly rich in vitamin A, which is very powerfully healing to the skin. And autumn is the time when we want to repair after all that summer sun damage that we've experienced. And then again, in winter, you have all those really deeply nourishing and fortifying foods, immune-boosting foods like citrus. And that's just following what's fresh and being harvested at that season.
Mm. And, you know, luckily, that's a trend, I think, that has been happening for a while. Certain restaurants do that, which is nice. There used to be a restaurant downtown, which I'm sure is still there, in Soho, that just whatever was, and I think that's actually so many more restaurants now doing that, whatever is growing in the season. You talk about vinegar, and I've heard that before, apple cider vinegar you mentioned. Does that mean, and I was, look, you know, you say it's good for you. Do people have to take a tablespoon of that? Is that how we get the vinegar into our system? And why is it good for us?
Some people like to. It's just a great digestive tonic. It sort of supports your digestive system. If you have any digestive troubles, it can be a little bit of a booster to you. I mean, it's something that it's a little bit of an acquired taste, but if you want to mix it with some warm water and lemon, a little bit of raw honey, it's just very balancing to a lot of the acidity that we have in our bodies. Okay. I talk a little bit about pH balancing in the book, but a lot of our diets are very heavy in acidic foods, and getting those fresh, rich green foods and even something like apple cider vinegar in our diet is going to give you more on the alkaline spectrum and put your body back in balance. And that just supports the way your cells, the way they function day to day. It kind of gives you a little boost in your glow and your skin that you don't see if you are more on the acidic side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's interesting. Another thing I want to question is chia seeds. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. I hear lately that there's a little buzz around them, and I have no idea what they are. So I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure our listeners all don't know what is it, chia or chia?
It's actually chia.
Chia, remember, like chia pet.
Do you remember chia pet?
Right, chia pet, yeah.
So these are the seeds that were in chia pets. And I don't think we knew at that point that they were superfoods. Not only are they packed with fiber, which when you soak them in water, they sort of become, They have a little bit of like a soft mucilage around them, which helps cleanse your digestive tract. It's great fiber for your body, but they're packed with omega-3s, which are those healthy fats that sustain your skin, your hair, your nails. They're just amazing for beauty. So they're an incredible vegetarian source of omega-3s.
Mm, interesting. Okay. And they're certainly, as I said, making a comeback. Now, you were, as I mentioned earlier, a beauty editor for InStyle, People, Allure, Prevention magazine. So you certainly were in that world that everything is very topical. Can some of these, now obviously cosmetics we use and we all need and we all love, but can some of these natural products be used as cosmetics as well?
They can, but it's, I would always say that I'd rather eat it and put it inside, then almost, it almost feels wasteful for some of these foods topically. And, you know, you can find a balance, but if you have something like a food like avocado, which is a food that lots of people point to as a hair or skin mask,
right.
I think it's just infinitely better to eat it and consume those healthy natural fats from the inside out than it is to just apply it on your face and rinse it off.
Okay, fair enough. But if you have a little extra, you can, sort of thing.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay. You know, you talk about in this book, and you mentioned it, sugar. And everybody now is buzzing about sugar. I recently interviewed someone who wrote a book about getting rid of sugar. But, you know, I think, and as wonderful as that sounds, I think it's so hard to do. Sugar comes in so many different places. And I mean, most of us are used to it. So if we don't use sugar, we're going to use some sort of artificial sweetener, which you mentioned is not good. I mean, you know, there is a part of us that wants to throw up our hands and say, you know, we have to enjoy it a little bit too. What would you use as a sugar substitute if white sugar is no good?
Well, I mean, there are lots of substitutes that, you know, they're still sweet, but they have some additional beauty benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things like maple syrup, raw honey, even something like molasses, which we, you know, use during the winter, even something like stevia.
Yeah.
And so all these are going to give you that sweet taste, but they just have a little bit of extra beauty mineral benefits. And again, with sugar, I mean, it's everything in moderation.
Right.
So creating that balance, I don't ever want anyone to think I can never eat that again.
Yeah, because you know what's going to happen. They're just going to throw the whole thing away because it's just, you know, every once in a while you want something sweet.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I struggle most with is sugar, because I definitely have a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
And I do believe it's a little addictive too. So the more I have it, the more I notice I want it.
Well, it also comes in places that we don't know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can eat, I mean, certain things turn to sugar. You know, you eat tomato sauce on pasta and then you hear that it's full of sugar and you think, well, the tomatoes are good, you know, so then you should make your own. I mean, it's just, you know, it comes up in insidious places. But one of the things, and I know this and I think it's true, and I've turned to having a dark chocolate if I want a chocolate. Mm-hmm. You talk about the, is it cacao? The real cocoa in chocolate that you need. And if you get a higher percent of that, at least 70%, right, you can substitute that for chocolate and for a sweet, and it's still good for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, look for 70% because the deeper, the richer cacao that you have, the better for you. It's sort of like a feel-good food that also sort of gives you that pleasure reaction when you eat it. I think we all know that from having chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's full of beauty minerals. Sulfur is one of them, which is great for strong hair and strong nails. It also helps protect the skin from UV damage and helps boost hydration and reduce redness, which is interesting because during the winter when we consume a lot of those, like think hot cocoa, stuff like that, that's when we tend to have drier skin and more red skin.
Okay. And you also talk about some things like nutmeg is good for your sleep, beets are good for sun protection, ginger is good for anti-aging defenses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're talking about it being good for you and then exactly what we all have different things that we need. Some of us don't sleep as well. Some of us need more sugar, you know, or whatever it is, or have indigestion problems. So you can use food as medicine, as a first defense, to use it to look good and to feel good and to help your body heal, right?
I think so. What I really wanted to stress with this book is that food can be a pampering experience. It's like that missing beauty product that we didn't know we had. And for a lot of women especially, there's so much guilt involved in eating or obsession about calories and, I shouldn't have eaten that.
Right.
And, you know, we say those things all day long. I wish I hadn't eaten that. But I want to turn eating into you know, what can I feed myself that's going to make me glow later on today and tomorrow and the next day? And how can I pamper myself with my food?
So then you get the double enjoyment of the food. Wow, this is going to make me look good and taste good at the same time.
So all of a sudden
you feel good about yourself. So that's a good approach. I like that approach to beauty because then you get to eat and feel good. So it does all the good things. Well, it's a wonderful little book, really full of really lots of interesting gems. And it's not, how do I say, you're not lecturing at us. You're giving us information, which I like. You know, you're telling us this is what we can do and we don't have to be perfect. But boy, if we want to feel good and look good, this is the great book to have. Eat Beauty Nutrition for Beauty Inside and Out. Jolene Hart, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Shannon. It was a pleasure.
It was terrific. Thank you. And everybody, it's on Shannon's Corner, her book, and a link to her website. So if you're in the car and you can't write it down, just go to Shannon's Corner. It's there. And we're going to take a break. And we come back, we're going to talk on a different realm, not about nonfiction, but about fiction, a new book called Pandemic. So stay where you are. We'll be back in just a few here on WTVQ.